Thank you, Mark. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I didn't really need the microphone. Anyway, I want to start this morning in Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'll try and go as fast as I can today because I'd say I'm going to be a little short on time, so I apologise if I go over. 24th verse. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. This life is all about choices. And the older I get, the more I am convinced that it is one of the most important things that God gave us. It is the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ's teachings. God tells us to choose between Him and the world. And believe me, the world is pretty tempting. Everyone is tempted. And we all fail at some point. Do you know how I know? In Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, verse, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not one. And you know, and I tell you that I know how special my Lord and Savior really is. When you go to Revelations, the 5th chapter, first verse, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Only one. That's how special my Lord and Savior is. So now that we've established the standard, let's go on to perfection. And that's in Hebrews, if you want to look it up. 6. When Christ was tempted after 40 days, did he not have a choice? Yes, he had a choice. He chose to ignore Satan, the temptations that Satan was going to give him. How about the angels in heaven? Did they have a choice? A third of them chose to follow Satan. They had a choice. It is one of the fundamental principles of the gospel, in heaven or on earth, that we have that choice. God wants us to choose freely. I have a story to tell. I've told some people here a week or so ago. And it was a few weeks ago. I had run out of time to do the things that I wanted to do. And a neighbor friend had just had back surgery. And he heats his house with wood. So I wanted to cut some wood for him. But on Saturday, we'd taken the boys to Young People's, and we just ran out of time. And because I feel it's important to support our youth. And so my wife suggested to me, she said, well, why don't you sharpen the chainsaw in the morning before church? She said, you're always up before everyone else. And so so I did. I thought that seemed like a good idea. So after I'd done that, I'd sharpened that chainsaw 1,000 times. I ended up with this big blister on this one finger. Didn't really hurt. But it was enough to know that that's not what God wanted me to do. It didn't really bother me. I just knew it was there. And I knew why it was there. Because I thought that what I was going to do was, after I got home from church, I was going to cut that wood. I was going to take it over to him. It was a good deed. It was a good deed on Sunday. That was all right. And I justified it in my mind that I was going to do that. And so I didn't cut that wood. I thought, well, it was premeditated. I'm not saying not do good on Sunday. I'm just not saying that you don't plan something like that. And I knew better. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. The 8th chapter, 11 through 13. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. I knew better. And unlike many of, I shouldn't say you, but unlike many like myself, a lot of times judgment is not executed speedily. But it was that day. I got it right then and there. I came home Monday night after work, and I cut 2 loads of wood for that friend of mine. That testimony I could have ignored. And the blister, most of it's gone now. I could have ignored it. Could have thought nothing of it. Just a small thing about a choice. Adam and Eve. Did they not have a choice in the Garden of Eden? But God knew that choice. Page 85 in the Book of Mormon. And now, behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were after they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of the time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishments of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh all men might be miserable like unto himself. Now it's interesting to note that if choice comes from God, what comes from the adversary? Bondage and misery. Is that what we want? Let's go back to the 97th verse. That's on page 84. And to bring about his eternal purposes in the end of man, after he had created our first parents and the beasts of the field and the fowl of the air, and in fine all things which are created, it must needs be that there was an opposition, even the forbidden fruit, in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet, the other being bitter. Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore man cannot act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other. Pretty simple. I also had to repent. It all comes down to a choice. Let's go to Romans. Sixth chapter, 12th verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. That when ye shall sin, because ye are not under the law, but under grace, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from form of doctrine which was delivered you. But then, being free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You see, the choice is always ours. Are you the servants of righteousness? I had a blister to prove otherwise that I was. I struggle with many things that I need the help the Lord to help me with, to overcome certain things. And I can't overcome them by myself. And if I did, where would the victory be for my Lord? You know, I understand how Nephi felt. In page 92, the 31st verse, the third chapter of the second book of Nephi. Nevertheless, the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. Yea, my heart sorreth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. Those words, to me, have such great meaning. Because I know how unworthy I really am. Better than anyone else here, even my wife. My Lord is a faithful friend. I learned that many years ago. You know, I've heard people say that it's a sin not to come to church, that not to be here every time the doors open. I say it's a choice. I say, like everything else, life is a choice. You can do good, you can do evil. You can do anything you want. Some get away with it. But the responsibility comes down to you and I. What is my choice? I've used many excuses to do things that I wanted to do. We excuse ourselves for sin. You know, lately I've been to several baptisms. And I was impressed that those young men, they weren't children, said that they gladly took upon them the name of Christ. That they had asked God. That it was important to them. That they would serve him to the end. Baptism is one of those things where you make that choice and you say from that moment on, and you better mean it, that you're going to follow him to the end. It is one of those major choices. That you not do it for someone else, that you do it because you love God. choice. Matthew 20 says, many are called, few are chosen. And Luke, let's go to Luke, 13th chapter. I'm going to try and get done. Verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. It was a choice. It didn't mean that you just, well, I think I'll do that today. It took a lot of agony, a lot of decision making, a lot of asking God. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, know ye not whence ye are? Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunken in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. You see, they thought they were entering in. And don't tell me because it didn't belong to our church. It's because of the choices that they made. Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. 10 virgins. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So they all knew who they were looking for. They all knew who they were looking for. A virgin is a sign of purity. They were waiting on the bridegroom. They were waiting on Christ. But yet 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. We know the outcome. Let's go back. Luke 14. Luke 16:27. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly unto the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. They had a choice. And whosoever, 27th verse, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whereof he has sufficient to finish it? Verse 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Pretty simple. None of them. The choices. Matthew 7. Now this is about a man that built his house upon a rock. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Christ. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. They were sitting in the same pew. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. I have to be honest. I've really struggled lately. Frustrated. I remembered something. And it was my brother Donnie's sermon here a couple of weeks ago. I had, many years ago, I had gone through a divorce. And I was void. I was empty inside. And he had said that for 2 weeks while Bonnie was gone, he had felt the same thing. In that sermon. And I remembered how I felt. The difference was that I had filled my life with God at that point. And I had some of the most amazing blessings. I had made a choice. I still sinned. I still fell short of the glory of God. But I had begun to change. I can't tell you the many blessings that I have because they were daily. I can't tell you all of them because they were so many. But it was a conscious choice that I made. And I had to push myself to change. The person that I seen, I didn't like. I still see that person every now and again. But I try and change that person little bit by little bit. I had no one to depend on except for my Lord and Savior. I had a border collie dog that was like my child. Loved that dog. It kept me somewhat sane. It was the most difficult time in my life, but it was the most spiritually growing time. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about my choices. And the more that I chose my God, the more that He blessed me. You know, I had a friend one time ask me, he said, and he had gone through a divorce, and he said, man, he said, I gave her everything. And my response was, you're so lucky. That's less things to get between you and God. And I remembered that because I had nothing. I had absolutely nothing except my God. And the joy from the revelations that He would give me, the understanding that He would give me, and I was closer to God. I could pray, and He would give me an answer, not only a blister right then and there, but He would also, the way that I asked it to be done, as a testimony, as a witness. Just like in Judges, when if you look at Gideon with the fleece, he asked God, he doubted. I doubted. I didn't have perfect faith at that time. I still doubt. But he asked that the fleece not be wet the one morning. Then the next morning he asked that it not be wet. And God gave him that. I don't have time to read it all because, and I would suggest that you read that whole book. I'm sure most of you won't, but that's your choice. So how important is choice? I'm going to try and shorten it up. Is it to make everyone baptized? Is it to make everyone to come to church? Is it to make everyone to pay tithes? What else is it? To make everyone take away your freedom and liberty is not of God. I'll give you an example. Another example, I should say. I asked to build a friend. How was work? Said he had lots of work. I had asked him a month or a couple months before. He didn't have any work. And he said, you know, he says, I'd stop paying tithes. Said, I'd stop paying tithes. He said, I never missed it. He said, but when I started paying tithes, he said, I just had all kinds of work. God requires us to be obedient in all things. Joshua. Chapter 24, and you all know the scripture, 13th verse. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or in those lands ye dwelt, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so I would ask for your prayers and my choices. And I would ask that I would pray for your choices also. That we might be more obedient. That we might be that peculiar people. And that we might put nothing ahead of our God. And so I thank you for your time and your patience. God bless.